Salvation does not insulate us from suffering. That's a fact we might like to avoid, but we should face this fact with proper attitude and perspective, as we hear in this comment from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
For I consider the sufferings of this present time right here in Rome, but the unique thing about the Bible is it's a book that has eternal time. So this present time right now, the sufferings that you may have, you can identify when it says that Jesus Christ suffered. And since you've been taught you're an heir of God, you're adopted because of what Jesus did into God the Father's kingdom, you will be a joint heir with Jesus Christ in everything for eternity. You'll have a complete access backstage pass to. Nobody will be able to stop you. You will actually be the judges that will be judging the fallen angels.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
Thanks for joining us for the Monday edition of Chapter and Verse, where we're taking a verse-by-verse view of the book of Romans. Currently, we're taking the luxury of an in-depth examination of Chapter 8. Mike McIntosh is our Bible teacher on this daily broadcast, and we can look forward to more practical instruction today in Part 2 of the message, Have You Considered the Suffering? The words we find today were written to a church that would soon undergo terrible persecution. In just a few years, the believers in Rome would experience exactly what Paul prepared them for. The verses we'll review today contain some of the most comforting promises found anywhere in Scripture. Open your Bibles now to Romans chapter 8, and let's join Mike for today's lesson.
One of the greatest honors bestowed upon me by the Lord was that during the reign of the communists throughout Eastern Europe, I was able to spend literally weeks in Eastern Europe behind the wall of East Berlin and West Berlin, but in many of the countries. And we memorized 2 weeks earlier and then burned it all in a garbage can in a park in Austria, all the names, telephone numbers, addresses for the next 5 weeks on this one trip, and what time we would meet in what country and what city. And it was kind of crazy, to say the least. And people would meet us without ever talking to us. We'd be sitting in our VW van at a park, and all of a sudden somebody would pull up in a car in front of us and look at us and then honk their horn and start driving, and we'd start following them. And we'd end up in an apartment or a house or a barn or an open field, and we'd get from 10 to 2 or 3, 400 people that had come from hundreds of miles, because an American was coming with a Bible and was going to teach. Now, I don't think that you've ever had that suffering. I don't doubt that it'll come this way, but that is the suffering he's talking about here, more so than that they've got a pain in their low back, or they stubbed their toe, or they got a D on the exam. They really knew what suffering was because they suffered with Jesus. It was Jesus that was persecuted under Stalin and Brezhnev. I was there when Brezhnev was in charge of Russia. And yet, even in Russia, the people that knew the Lord would sacrifice everything to live for him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time right here in Rome, but the unique thing about the Bible is it's a book that has eternal time. So this present time right now, the sufferings that you may have, you can identify when it says that Jesus Christ suffered. And since you've been taught you're an heir of God, you're adopted because of what Jesus did into God the Father's kingdom, you will be a joint heir with Jesus Christ in everything for eternity. You'll have a complete access backstage pass to. Nobody will be able to stop you. You will actually be the judges that will be judging the fallen angels. And you will be a very unique person. You will be without sin. Probably still have your same personality, but it would be true intellect, not pseudo-intellect, and it would be a true heart of love and compassion, And nobody has to doubt anybody's word or handshake, because it's a whole new kingdom that is based on the love of God. And God will have us, if whatever it is, managing or administrating or everything that you have gifts for, using throughout his creation, which is bigger than just this solar system, galaxy, or this one universe that we know of. So he slows down, he considers the present time sufferings. These things that we're suffering, that people are really hurting over, that next word was not worthy. So there's worth to suffering in some people's eyes. You know some people that they drag on and on and on their suffering. I remember my mother always talked about the old people. And I thought she was old. You know, she was almost 92 years old. And we saw that her car was swiped on one side, on the right-hand side. Big, full body length deal. And so I said, Philip, would you take Grandma's car over to the Buick dealer and whatever it is, you know, negotiate a good deal, but let's get it fixed for her. So we got it fixed for her. Next thing was that a man called me and said, I live near your mother's home. She left a note on my car. Her car had swiped my car and knocked her rearview mirror off. I said, and his. And I said, really? Which side? And he said, well, it's my left side, driver's, and her right side. I said, that's where we just fixed the problem. So I suggested, how long have you had your glasses? Oh, 15 years or something. Oh, Mom, come on. So we went and got her eyes checked, and she had a cataract, and she couldn't see out of the right eye. So she is always hitting things on the right side. Not always, but sometimes I would find that she'd hit some things. I'm sure she got to the body shop earlier than me. But she was such a character. And so I said, Mom, this doctor is one of the best in San Diego, and he's going to remove that cataract. And it'll take less than 10 minutes. You'll feel no pain. And I guarantee you, you'll be seeing super a week from now. And all those things came to pass. So they give you the big old people black glasses, you know, the ones I'm talking about. They're kind of plastic, and you see, they cover everything so light doesn't get in there. 3 days, that'd be about it. But my mom wore them for 3 weeks. And I'd go visit her every day, and I'd say, Mom, that was a couple weeks ago when we got your eyes fixed. Oh, no, I better keep them on. She was enjoying the attention that the glasses gave her from other people. I thought, okay. So some people, they do milk the suffering for all they can. So he slows down, considers the sufferings at this present time. So if you would just write one word down on a piece of paper right now, just one word for suffering, it's code word. If you drop this paper, your name's not on it, your Social Security's not on it, but a word is on it. And nobody would know what you're talking about. Just one word. And now let's think of two words. Suffering's going on right now. Demoted, promoted, lost this, found that. Sufferings. Health, in-laws, outlaws, family. Just one word. And you could see that you have learned on this planet to live with pressures every day. So when you consider at this present time what you're going through, some of you say, I can just, no problem, I've been through worse than that. And yet he's talking about deep suffering. It's not worthy. The suffering that you have gone through, and maybe losing your home or losing your job, it truly is a suffering. In no way do I play that down. I understand 101%. But when it comes to this pain and the scars and the wounds, it's not worthy to be compared. You can't juxtapose them side by side or bring them, switch them on those sides. You can't compare this to that, because it's something differently that you will be experiencing in spiritual suffering. But you can't compare it. It's not worthy to be compared with the glory. You know, God speaks about his glory throughout the Psalms. The Proverbs, a wise person speaks about God's glory. The Psalms and the songs speak about God's glory. The Old Testament, the five books of the Old Testament that Moses is responsible for the first five books, speaks about God's glory. One time God came by to see Moses, and he said, Moses, go inside the little cave there on the mountain, and just wait till I come by. He said, and God put his hand out and blocked the opening. Pretty big hand. He blocks the opening and then walks by. So think of this. How long his arm would be that he could walk by something as big as a cave entrance and his arm and shoulder just still keeping Moses blocked from this radiation. Because Paul told Timothy that God dwells in a light that is unapproachable by man. We can't get to him, but our spirit can. And when God removed his hand, Moses, the Bible says, saw the trailing edge of God's glory. Now that word for his glory was the Hebrew word Shekinah, which is glorious and beautiful, way beyond any superlatives we could come up with. But he saw just like the dust being kicked up as his robe was touching the ground, perhaps. He didn't see his arm or his hand or his face or his full stature or size. He just saw the presence of the wind turning something up. And it was so powerful that it took his body and transformed it. And when he came off of the mountain, his face shined so brightly that they had to put a cover over it, lest he blind all the children of Israel. That would be like me or you. You deserve it. You get a little glimpse at God's glory, and this brightness that has come upon you is so bright that if they put you on Mount Soledad or Mount Helix, airplanes would not need any other way to figure out where the airport is. 2.8 million people or whatever it is, the entire county of San Diego, from Borrego to Imperial Beach to Oceanside, you name it, to Humul. Everyone would be blinded just being in your presence, having seen only the trailing edge of God's glory. That's how beautiful God is. And we are told through various scriptures that that's what you're going to look like. Wow. And some of you can use a little bit of a facelift here. You got to admit it. You got a little sad look on your face, and you're sort of, I don't know, whatever. For I consider the sufferings, present time, not worth. There's no value to compare with the glory. And then the future is given to us, and the future is hope. And this is true hope that we can all believe in. I consider with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God's going to put his glory in us when we get our new bodies. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Those of you that have lost loved ones, I encourage you to realize that God sees things differently than you and I do, and you worried about their suffering at death time or whatever. God has the ability to take them, the real them inside, immediately, the body still on the machines, the body still on the side of the highway. But God is there. And it's a whole different realm. Their body could be moaning and groaning, but their spirit is seeing the Lord. And if they die, at that instant, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in just a flash. Now, we had a men's prayer meeting in Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Pastor Chuck hosted it. Hundreds and hundreds of men would come each Saturday night and pray. And my friend Don McClure and I were two of the first intern pastors with Pastor Chuck. And I was driving home to Santa Ana that night late, and I saw a car sideways on the freeway, and another one stopped. And the man that was in the sideways car, he was out of the car, laying stretched on the road. A highway patrolman had just arrived. And what had happened is that he went to get off at the Dyer Road exit on Highway 55 and realized, oops, that's not the right one. And he tried to back up onto the freeway, and over the little rise that he didn't see was a van of teenagers from Las Vegas, Nevada. And they had come to Newport for the weekend and were going back. And as they came up, they couldn't stop. They bent his car in half. It threw him into the back seat as the seat broke. They hadn't had airbags that time. And his brain was literally dislodged. And when I jumped out, there was nobody there but me and this policeman and the sheriff. And I told him I was a minister, and I'd like to say a prayer for this man. And he was just getting ready to put the white blanket over him, the sheet, and I just, a couple appeared, a man and a woman. I didn't see a car stop. I, to this day, believe there are angels. I just went, whoa, I'm going to pray for this man. They said, we'll pray with you. So we held hands, and the officer waited a few moments, and we asked God to bless this man and the death notifications that's going to be given, and to those that are going to get this bad news. And all of a sudden, he started gurgling and spitting up blood, and he came alive, if he were dead, but he was on the edge. And the officer said, whoa! And just then, wherever the ambulance came from, I'm not sure, but they slid it underneath him and got him out on the gurney and put him into the back of the ambulance, took off. I thought, man alive. Now, I've only been a minister for about 6 months, 5 months, and I thought, this is really cool. I like this. So I went to that hospital, and it was just crazy. They were running around Tustin Hospital, just crazy. Nurses, doctors, everybody was just trying to save all these kids' lives. There was 4 to 6 of them. And I heard a phone call of a nurse that was calling, obviously, it's now 11 o'clock at night, Las Vegas, and speaking to a parent and says, I don't have time to tell you that. Listen to me. Do I have permission for the doctor to operate or not? I don't have time for that. Do I have permission? Your daughter's going to die. Okay, thank you for permission. And I hung up. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's got to be a little more sensitive or something. So I went to the head doc and I said, could I call all these families for you and help with the death notification and whatever's going to happen here? He said, absolutely. So I called Don McClure. And Don came and joined me, and I said, I'm going to jog over to their house. They live 4 blocks from the hospital. I'll leave my car here if somebody comes and they need it. If you could just stay here and be the person between the families on the phone and the medical team. So I get over to the condominium, and there's this young 23-year-old bride with a pair of twins. Well, most pairs are twins. Had a couple of twins. And so I said, here's who I am. Your husband's in the hospital. Here's what happened. He's still alive. I'll stay here. I'll call our church and get some women to come over, take care of your little guys. And so that took place. Well, when I got relieved at the house, 3 or 4 hours had gone by. I came back, and that young woman, the wife, was praying with my friend Don McClure to accept Jesus. And he said, you know, a nurse accepted Jesus. She accepted Jesus. So we would go back and forth, and this man was in a coma. After 3 months, Don went there and sat down by the bed, and the man came out of the coma. And he told what had happened, and he prayed with Don and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was a Jewish man that owned strip clubs in Santa Ana, and his young wife was one of the girls that was a nude dancer. So out of all that suffering and all that pain, salvation started coming from so many different ways. I think what happens is, as Dr. Joe Aldridge says, the former president of Multnomah Bible College and a very close friend of Billy Graham's, in his book, Friendship Evangelism, Joe said that within 24 months of becoming a Christian, the average Christian man or woman does not have any friendships with people outside the church. So all of a sudden we start closing all the doors and we don't minister. The love that we receive, we keep it inside. And it's a time right now for us to open the windows and let the Holy Spirit be a fresh breeze through our homes and our lives and our hearts. And that we would not worry about the sufferings that are not worthy to be compared with what's coming to you. So you just blast right through it in the Lord and you see Him powerfully with His glory, revealing the future for you so you don't stop. So I'd like you to look at those 7 words, if you would please, the consider, sufferings, present time, not worth compared with the glory shall be revealed. Because something's coming in the future that is going to take place inside of you, and this body will be gone and you'll have a new body, and that body will be perfect and will never die. Now, I'd mention to you, 4 times one word was mentioned. And it's such a subtlety if you're not looking for it. And the reason I picked up on it this time, out of all the years I've read Romans is that I'm just finished a year of school, 21 units, and I'm doing a summer class on physical science and the earth. And it's the debate between the old earth and the young earth. Are we biblically what God says in Genesis, or are we what science says that we're millions and hundreds of millions of years old? So this hit me because it was on an exam this week that we were discussing these things, and I'd like to show it to you. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, we consider, and now we know. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Four times creation is mentioned just in one brief dialogue of a short letter sent to the Roman church, and zero times was the word evolution mentioned. That is so subtle. So the argument is based around the Genesis, that God created heaven and earth. He rested the seventh day. He did it literally in six 24-hour day periods. And then people go over to a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is equal to one day. And they bounce around. But this started me thinking late yesterday afternoon. I'm going to do a study on creation and how many times it's found in the Bible. And this is why the book is not wanted by secularists. Because it's not just that God created the heavens and the earth, but it is a testimony of the act of creation from Moses to David to St. Paul that is mentioned throughout the whole book. So students are not dumb. They're students. They're inquisitive. And if they were reading a book and it said creation, 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 and the teacher is at the blackboard saying, monkey's uncle, monkey's uncle, monkey, 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 evolution, you know, they would say, but hold it. Why don't we hear about creation? It's a big conspiracy. Your kids and your grandkids are just not going to hear about creation. I wish God could just snap right now and your eyes would open and you'd see what's going on planet Earth. Because there are people that have sold their souls to the devil, and they know what's going on, and they won't tell you. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. Creation, when Adam and Eve sinned and God cursed the earth, the creation itself took the curse. This is why God's not going to let us, with NASA or without NASA, get people off this planet and infect them with the filth of sin that we have polluted this planet with. You think God would want them out on Jupiter or Mars or some other galaxy? No way. Because we have putrefaction in our streets, endorsed by federal governments around the world, and they profiteer off of it. Creation is mentioned four times, evolution zero. In verse 20, for creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. It didn't say, okay, I want weeds to grow. I want trees to lose their bark and die. I want cats to die when they get a certain age. The cats didn't say, yeah, get rid of me after you get rid of the dogs or something. You know, they didn't start talking and negotiating. They were all, it was all the flowers, everything was beautiful, pure. And the curse came, and now all of creation has intelligence to it.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh with today's closing point from a study in the book of Romans titled, Have You Considered the Suffering? The material we covered in chapter 8 reminds us, as one person pointed out, we will learn that in the Christian life, suffering is inevitable, but misery is optional because it's impossible to be separated from the love of Christ. Join us tomorrow for the conclusion to this message. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know the daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Please join us here at this same time tomorrow when we'll continue our lesson through Romans chapter 8 with Mike Macintosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.